Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue in our study of the future of Islam. Let me remind you, we have already finished our investigation concerning the presentation which was given by Professor John Esposito to an audience in the University of Kentucky, which took place in September 10, 2014. And now we are in the process of refuting the propaganda of Professor Esposito in the question and answer session. Today, there is a follow-up question concerning Muslim jihadi organizations. And here the Muslim moderator is reading to us about two other Muslim jihadi groups. He is asking Professor Esposito concerning his opinions or his prospect of these jihadi organizations. From the moderator question, we realize that he was frustrated because he does not know how we are going to get rid of these jihadi organizations. So without further ado, here is the moderator with the following question.
Kind of a follow-up of that, we have Boko Haram in Nigeria. You have, of course, Qaeda, which is doesn't seem to be going away. What's the prospect of them? You talk about the future of Islam.
Yeah.
What is
the future
their
of,
future? What's happening?
As long as you have conditions of that combine, from my point of view, authoritarian governments, and you know that phrase doesn't really sink in.
As you have heard, my friend, here we go again. Before Professor John Esposito even hears the question of the moderator concerning the following jihadi organization, he interrupts and gives him the answer. My friends, you cannot answer a question without listening to it first. But that's how we know how Professor Esposito will be covering the question and answer session. I believe if he at least hears a question and give it a few seconds to think about the answer, maybe we can hear an answer. But that's not what is in his agenda. So what is the question, my friend? The moderator is talking about, well, we have other jihad organizations. We already talked about ISIS, and you did a great job to fabricate an answer for ISIS. And now we need to learn about these other organizations. Wow. Like what? Listen carefully. Like Boko Haram in Nigeria. Like Al-Qaeda. And as I said earlier here, the moderator is frustrated. As he made this statement, it doesn't seem to be going away. What is the prospect of them? And Professor Esposito interrupts him to give an answer. Well, I have to tell you, my friends, even the question given by the Muslim moderator here, it is full of deception. Because if you are sitting in that meeting, listening to Professor Esposito's teachings and the question and answer session, you may come out of that meeting thinking that there is only three jihad organizations, ISIS, Boko Haram, and Al-Qaeda. And that's the end of it. No, my friends. There are more than that. We have Taliban is a Muslim jihad organization. We have Al-Nusra is a Muslim jihad organization. We have Abu Sayyaf. It is another jihad organization. We have Al-Badir, another jihad organization. We have the Muslim Brotherhood, Al-Ikhwan of Egypt, another Muslim jihad organization. By the way, there are at least 30 million followers of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt and around the world, including here in America. We have Lashkar-e-Taiba is another Muslim jihad organization. How about Jamaat Ansar al-Muslimin is another jihad organization. How about Jamaat Islamiyah, which also exists in Egypt, which is another Muslim jihad organization. How about Abdullah Azam Barajids? It's another Muslim jihad organization. How about Al-Shabaab of Somalia? Another jihad organization. I can go on and on and on to give you hundreds of names of Muslim jihad organizations. So the question was fabricated to limit the number of Muslim jihadi organizations around the world. And obviously, the answer was given by Professor Esposito was fabrication. Why I say that? Because he is emphasizing, as long as, here's his own word, as long as you have conditions of the combined, from my point of view, authoritarian governments. Oh, so the problem is not in all these Muslim jihadi organizations. The problem is in the authoritarian governments. The problem is in the government which rules these Muslim countries. If we will allow the people there to have their liberty, to have their freedom, to have their democracy, we will never have problem with the jihadi organization. Not realizing that this hogwash fabrication for the answer for the question which he did not even hear or give it a thought before he answered is the problem. The problem, as Professor John Esposito sees it, is not in the jihadi organizations. The problem is not in Allah's words in the Quran. The problem is not in the teaching of Muhammad, in the hadith, in the sunnah of Islam. The problem is in the authoritarian governments. And that's how we know that Professor John Esposito is not fit to answer any questions about Islam or to talk about Islam, period. Let me remind you again, this is a man who is paid by the Saudi Arabia jihadi Wahhabi millions of dollars to talk about Islam and to teach Islam in America. And so far, I have not heard him yet quoting a verse from the Quran or one of the sayings of Muhammad in the hadith to prove his point. He's just a fabricator. He's a fraud. That man should never be allowed to talk about Islam because he, A, does not know anything about Islam, or B, sold to the Saudi to give America to the Muslim jihadi. That is the only two options I have for the man. But sadly, once again, he is given the authority by our government to speak as if he is an expert on the topic of Islam and he knows about the future of Islam. And that's exactly what we're going to hear here from the continuation of his fabricated answer as he's about to tell us the following story.
About 20 years ago, I was on a panel in Washington, and I said to my colleagues, you realize this is the first panel that we've probably been on as professionals who deal with the Middle East where we were talking about democracy in the Middle East. In other words, it was just a presumption that there was no democracy, that the states were security states, you know? When you talk about security state, you're talking about state control, not only of jobs, of your life, ultimately, but also of the use of force and violence. So you're talking about thousands, sometimes tens of thousands of people in prison being tortured. You also hold back the development of education. Until economies are strengthened, until you have, you know, greater education, these groups will continue. Terrorism is with us. The question is not whether you can eliminate it, it's whether you can limit and contain it. And I think that, you know, that's just something that we, you know, that we're dealing with.
And here I must say, wow, what a great answer. We're talking about democracy in the Middle East from an expert on the topic of democracy in the Middle East. As he was sitting in this panel a good 20 years before that speech, that's a good 27 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, Professor Esposito was talking about democracy in the Middle East. And he's telling us that there is no democracy in the Middle East because the state in the Middle East is called security states. These are the states which control the life of the people in the Middle East. And he's talking about these are the states which actually use force and violence against thousands and tens of thousands of its people. How? They put them in prison and they torture them. And I can assure you that Egypt is one of these countries because we got hundreds of thousands of Muslim Brotherhood or Jamaat Islamiyah in our prisons under Jamal Abdel Nasser and under Sadat and under Mubarak until Mohamed Morsi became the president of Egypt and we almost lost Egypt for a whole year thanks to Mr. Barack Hussein Obama and people like John Esposito. So once again, Professor Esposito is giving us the answer for why we have these jihadi organizations. Listen carefully to his own words. you also hold back the development of education. Wow. These authoritarian governments who are abusing their people do not have the right education. The development of education. And add another very important fact. Listen carefully. Until economies are strengthened, until you have greater education, these groups will continue. Wow. You see, here is what I call the hogwash answer for the question about these jihadi organizations. The reason, my dear friends, we have these jihadi organizations in the Muslim world is the government is authoritarian. The government abuses its people by putting them in prison or torturing them. And because they do not have good education system in these countries, and because of the economy, government, education, and economy. If you fix the education and the economy, and if we force the government in these countries to allow the Muslim jihadi to take over these countries, until then, you will always have continuation of Muslim jihadi groups in the Middle East. My friends, this is the opposite of the truth.
Skeptics are constantly grouping God's Holy Bible together with Muhammad's unholy Quran. These mockers claim that both books are filled with tales of unjustified violence and that they speak of jihad, or holy war, against the infidels. But is this true?
To answer this challenge, Usama Dakdok has released a two-volume book series investigating the concept of jihad in both the Bible and the Quran.
Volume 1, entitled Exposing the Truth About Jihad, Holy War in the Bible, takes an honest and unvarnished view of death and killing as recorded throughout the pages of the Holy Scriptures. From Genesis to Revelation, from the Flood to the Second Coming, Usama Dakdok examines the logical and moral justification for God's judgment against sin. From the conquest of Canaan to the cross of Calvary, Exposing the Truth About Jihad, Holy War in the Bible provides the reader with a thorough and detailed investigation into this difficult yet crucial topic. In Volume 2, Exposing the Truth About Jihad, Unholy War in the Quran, the author will likewise provide a fair and honest examination of the arbitrary and unjustified killing as commanded by Allah in the pages of the Quran. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy of this new book today. The Straightwave Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. And now, back to our show.
In Egypt, we have the best education in the Muslim world. You're talking about colleges where a person can have his master's degree, his doctorate degree. Literally, you can have better education in Egypt than in America if you are willing to study hard and you're willing to pass the exams and be something. We have some of the best doctors, some of the best engineers come out of Egypt. Sadly, many of them, because they were Christians, they could not continue to go up the ladder of education. They have to leave Egypt and go to Europe or come to America because Christians are persecuted against having a higher education throughout the college. But if you're a Muslim, you can continue to go up the ladder of education. The economy in Egypt is not bad when you compare it to most Muslim countries all over Africa and Asia. But even though you have the better education and you have a good economy in Egypt, you see that the Muslim Jihadi Brotherhood and Jamaat Islamiyah are growing in the colleges, not in the villages or in the farm where people do not have higher education. But in college, you cannot be a member of the Muslim Brotherhood unless you're in college. Because until I finished high school, I never heard of the Muslim Brotherhood. But when I went to college, that's when I see the growth of the Muslim Brotherhood in Alexandria colleges. And you see it in Cairo colleges. And you see it in many colleges. And in Asiut College, in every important college in Egypt. That's where Muslim Brotherhood promotes and gain more new members every semester of every new year. Professor Esposito ended his propaganda answer by stating, "Terrorism with us." The question is not whether you can eliminate it is whether you can limit and contain it. And I think that is just something that we are dealing with. I'm sorry, with all respect, Professor Esposito, until you learn the truth about the root of the problem of terrorism, which is the words of Allah in the Quran, as I shared in this study in the past, and the saying and the teaching and the sunnah of Muhammad, as Muslims see him as the noblest example for every Muslim to follow. Until you understand the reality that Islam is a savage cult and Muslim believers are called to be terrorists, you will never have a clue how you can fix the problem of terrorism. It have nothing to do with education. It have nothing to do with economic status. It have nothing to do with these governments who are doing their job for being a state control. Because if it was not of the government of Egypt to lock up the hundreds of thousands of Muslim Brotherhood, there will not be a Christian in Egypt, nor there will ever be peace in the Middle East. That's why I said earlier, Professor Esposito is not qualified to talk about Islam or to answer any questions about Islam, because once again, he is A, the most ignorant man of the topic, or B, the most dangerous man to talk about the topic, because he knows everything about Islam, but he is already sold to the Saudi Muslim and others by the millions of dollars. That's why he is teaching this propaganda Islam in America. Now let's go back to our moderator to hear about a very important question. It is sweet and short question. Here he is, the Muslim moderator, with the following question.
Does Sharia contradict democracy?
What a question. Does Sharia contradict democracy? Does light contradict darkness? Does rich contradict poor? Does life contradict death? Does hell contradict heaven? Does right contradict wrong? And listen to the unbelievable answer of Professor Esposito. That is when he said,
not necessarily. It depends on your interpretation of Sharia.
Not necessarily? Depend on your interpretation of Sharia? What a great answer. That man does not have even logic or common sense to talk about Sharia. And if you are so ignorant about the topic of Sharia, you may believe this hogwash answer. But in reality, I would challenge Professor Esposito to show me one example of Sharia which fits with our democracy. Democracy and Sharia is like oil and water, as I said before. They do not mix together. It is like darkness and light. You will never have both of them in the same room. That is why, my dear friends, we do not have democracy in the Muslim world. Not just in Egypt, but in the Muslim world. Not just the last 10 years, but in the last 1400 years. I challenge Professor Esposito to show me one Muslim country who practice Sharia and in the same time they have democracy. Democracy and Sharia is the opposite of each other. It is like the East and the West. They will never meet together. But listen to the answer of the great expert, Professor Esposito.
For example, I'm going to do this analogously. If you asked me, did Catholicism contradict democracy, I would have to tell you that a whole series of popes condemn modernism, modernity, democracy, notions of women's rights, I mean that is equality, and freedom of speech in terms of free media as anarchy.
What a great example Professor Esposito is giving to his Muslim moderator and to the person who has the question. He's talking about the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church, if you ask me if Catholicism contradicts democracy, I would have to tell you a whole series of popes condemned modernism, condemned maternity, condemned democracy. Like what? He said, like, notions of women's rights. I mean, that is equality and freedom of speech in terms of free media as anarchy. Professor Esposito, the question was given to you is about Sharia, Islamic law, and democracy. Why are you answering that question by what some of the wicked popes said in the Catholic Church for hundreds of years, which goes against the teaching of the Bible? It's not because some priest is molesting children in some Catholic church. That does not mean that is what the Catholic believe. It's not because some minister is living immoral in some other evangelical church that is the teaching of the New Testament. It's not because Christians by name only live wrong for hundreds of years, that means that is the teachings of Christianity. Why are you mixing potato with tomato? Why are you easy to jump on attacking some wicked, ungodly pope to say they were against democracy because of their misunderstanding of democracy, when Sharia itself is very clearly teaches that democracy means people are equal, and if people are equal, that means it is against Sharia, because in Sharia, sir, Muslim men are not equal to Muslim women or Muslim slaves, and for sure they're not equal to infidel people. Democracy cannot fit with Sharia, but democracy is built on Christian perspective and Christian belief and Christian ethics, because the Bible said there is no difference between a man and a woman, between a Hebrew and a Gentile, between a free and a slave, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. In Christianity, sir, we have the right to speak our mind. We have freedom to believe or to reject Christianity. That's not something you found anywhere in the teaching of Sharia. Because in Sharia, you have no right to ask questions. In Sharia, you have no right to leave Islam. You leave Islam, we must kill you as an apostate. And if you don't accept Islam as an infidel, we must kill you for rejecting the truth of the word of Allah and the commands of Muhammad. There's a huge difference between the foolishness in the Catholic Church, which many of their teachings still until today goes against the Bible, and we do not go out and burn and bomb Catholic cathedrals or kill Catholic priests. But in Islam, you cross the line of the word of Allah and the command of Muhammad, and you're dead. You have no option to have freedom to say what you have in your heart or what you have in your mind. Equality between men and women. The freedom of speech, the freedom for the media to say whatever they desire to say is accepted and allowed in Christianity, but not in Islam. There is nowhere in Sharia where I can see this liberty and this freedom exist. So, Professor Esposito, please do not compare the Catholic popes with Islam, because it seems to me, once again, you are A, know nothing about Sharia, or B, you know everything about Sharia, and you are just simply lying, because you are bought by the millions of dollars of the Saudi Arabia to teach your hogwash all over America and around the world. And to continue our study of the future of Islam, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam.
This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.